Hi, everybody, and welcome to No Story is Sacred. If you've never listened before, basically we're four siblings who grew up talking about the art of storytelling. Now that we're adults, we're still talking about it, and we're inviting you to join the conversation. I'm Brendan, and I like trains.
Oh, shit, that's what I was going to do. I'm Pippin, and curse all seeds.
that's a deep cut.
It is not.
I'm Alex, and I believe that combining a sword with a gun is an obvious and efficient creation.
That it is.
Yeah. You get two in one.
Two in one. I mean, really, it's double the power, double the fun.
It's a two-in-one shampoo conditioner of weapons.
Mm-hmm. And Kat is in need of a phoenix down. So she won't be here for tonight's recording, which is why today we're not talking about the movie Moon like we said we were, because we are great at holding commitments. instead, we're going to talk about the 1999 video game Final Fantasy VIII.
Because Kat's not here to stop us.
If you could say, while the cat's away, the mice might play.
The younger siblings will do what they want.
Mm-hmm. So if you want specific content warnings about the things we may talk about, check out the show notes on nostoryissacred.com. Now, if you've never played Final Fantasy VIII, the summary from Wikipedia is, set on an unnamed fantasy world with science fiction elements, the game follows a group of young mercenaries led by Squall Leonhart. Lionheart? Whatever. As they are drawn into a conflict sparked by Ultimisia, a sorceress from the future who wishes to compress time. During the quest to defeat Ultimisia, Squall struggles with his role as a leader and develops a romance with one of his comrades, Rinoa.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's it.
Four discs worth of gameplay.
Yeah.
All for that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And see that? And the description doesn't do it justice, because we find out that Ultimisia is, like, the bad guy in, like, what, the last third of the game?
Yeah.
Really? Almost disc four.
Yeah.
Of four.
Yeah.
At least disc three.
Well,
when they get to Estar.
Because the end of disc one, disc two is when Cersus Idia nearly kills Squall with that ice blast.
Yeah, the ice lands, and maybe she succeeded.
Whoa! And then the end of the second disc going into the third is when
Rinoa gets the sorceress powers.
Is it? I thought that's when. Yeah, from Adia. Yeah.
Yep.
I forgot that those were the same event.
Yeah.
And then through the disc, we learn more about Ultimisia and what her plan is.
Yeah.
So disc three is when we learn that.
Yeah. So the latter third of the game.
Mm. Also, I want to take a moment to say that Edia is fashion goals. Every time I look at her, I'm like, you're so pretty. Even when you're evil, you're so pretty.
Pip, all the sorceresses are fashion week.
Yeah, yeah. And they all seem to have taken fashion tips from Elvira.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with that.
Plunging necklines all the way.
Indeed.
Except maybe some of the final form Ultimisias.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, yeah.
The no
yeah.
face, the whole entire lack of face, kind of. Also, that's a spoiler.
Oh, yeah, spoiler alert, you guys.
Oh, I think when we mentioned the fact that we were talking about the entire game here, I think we're covered.
still, maybe they weren't expecting us to straight up say that Ultimisia junctions with Griever. who is this weird dog thing? And also the name of Squall's ring. Cause that's not weird.
Hey, Al. Yeah? When you were a teenager, did you name jewelry?
All the time, man.
Okay. My mistake.
There was Reginald, there was Arthur, there was Sir Pilsington.
Sir Pilsington was great. I miss him. Let's be real. Squall is the exact kind of nerd to name his jewelry. And you know. No, the swords already had names. I was gonna say, he probably named his swords, we just didn't hear about it. But no, they already had names.
Yeah, they all do. All the weapons have names.
I bet he had secret names that he didn't tell anybody.
Let's actually get into Final Fantasy.
The story?
Yeah.
Into Final Fantasy VIII, one of the least appreciated games of the Final Fantasy series.
I don't want to say, in some internet circles, it's, hated.
Which is weird, because it's a great game.
It's because it uses the junction system, which if you actually bother to learn, it is a...
Game-breaking, yes. Yeah,
game-breaking. But if you don't, you end up being confused and under-leveled wherever you go.
True. And then also de-incentivize... This is a game mechanics little rant here, but also it de-incentivizes using magic, which is one of the main pillars of Final Fantasy, so it can really leave a bad taste in people's mouths.
To explain, in Final Fantasy VIII, there is a junction system wherein you use a guardian force, your summons, and attach them to your characters.
This is actually a major plot point later in the game.
Indeed. Yeah. Which I appreciated.
Oh, yeah. Tying mechanics into the story is always great.
That's true.
But don't tell certain deniers that. But, anyways, you take your magic that you get throughout the game, and you apply those magics to your stats.
It's kind of like if you were playing a wizard in D&D, and you decided to have your fireballs be tied to your, attack damage directly. But then, every single time you cast a fireball, all of a sudden you're weaker.
Yeah.
It gets a little obnoxious.
Yeah. It helps by the fact that when you actually, if you actually use magic in the game, it's actually kind of useless.
Yeah, yeah. That's the other thing that doesn't help now, does it?
What?
But anyway, I think we're in the weeds here talking about game mechanics when really that's not our forte. Let's dive into story. I mean, the intro part of the story, a lot of disc one is just kind of your standard, let's get used to being student mercenaries, which is kind of a weird concept.
And your headmaster is Robin Williams.
As is tradition, you graduate high school and immediately go off to war. Yay.
Like you do.
No, your final exam is going to war.
Oh, and then your job is leading a revolution.
Wait a minute, your mercenaries who join a terrorist cell.
Freedom fighters, though. Yeah. Freedom fighters.
Also, they're mercenaries.
That's what I said.
Yeah. But you seem to have a bit of judgment about joining the terrorists. I'm like, no, that's what they do.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. And then things get weird.
If they haven't gotten weird already.
Yeah, that's where talking about all this stuff about sorceresses before comes into play, and essentially the crux of the story has to do with how there's a sorceress bloodline, there's a sorceress ability that's kind of vaguely defined as being super magic, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I guess maybe that is how we're tying mechanics into story as well. Where I guess people normally can't cast magic unless you're using these guardian forces, except if you're a sorceress. Shrug. Yeah.
Well, also, I don't remember the particular how the mechanic worked, but when Rinoa got her sorceress powers, if she cast magic while in her limit break ability, when she cast spells, did it lower the amount of?
She went into a wild magic mode.
A magic berserk, if you will.
So what sorcerers have are the ability to use magic without depleting it from themselves.
Yeah.
Or just not even rely on guardian forces in the first place.
Yeah. Her base magic attack also goes up.
For most humans, even if they've got the guardian
force. Yeah.
With them, there's still a finite amount of magic, and sorcerers do not have that limit.
So what you do with Rinoa is you just give her Ultimas, Flares, and Holy, and have her go into Limit Break all the time.
And that's how you win the game, people. Yay! So you have the sorceress with innate magical abilities, and you have a line of succession.
A succession of witches, if you will. Beatles.
Don't say. Oh, yeah, you're right.
I mean, that's a lot of the story, right? It's just a succession story or a usurping story, depending on how we interpret the final events of the game.
Yeah, with a lot of themes of destiny.
Yeah.
And predestination.
Mm.
And who you were and who you're going to be.
And your place in it.
Yeah. Because there's a bit of a time loop that happens
in the story. Just a bit.
Just a bit. So the idea of destiny and what you're going to become is a major theme when time travel's involved.
Yep. Let's see. There's a lot of faffing about when it comes to the romance and all that. Boy meets girl. Girl pretty much is warm up to the boy right away, right?
Oh, yeah. Renoa, that when she met Squall, already had a boyfriend.
That's true.
Well, I think they were in the off stage of an off again, on again sort of thing.
Well, they were very definitely broken up when he held her at gunsword point.
Yeah. Also, I believe it's called a gun blade, Alex.
Yes, Alex, come on, get your head in the game.
Yes, but the expression doesn't quite work.
Anyway, there's also, tying into this predestination theme and time travel, a number of times in the game there are also these asides that happen, right? Which happen to have some of the best music in the game, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. In which we get these little segments of some other party of adventurers and their, I guess, misadventures, really.
Yeah. Well, first it's the soldiers heading from the front lines to go to a bar.
A classic story.
Tale oldest time.
Yeah. Where he can creep on the piano singer.
Yeah. But yeah, throughout the story, there are continued
flashbacks.
Asides, we eventually learned that there
Interludes.
Ooh.
Fancy word. And we eventually we learned that these are scenes from the past.
Mm-hmm.
Featuring Squall's dad.
Spoiler alert.
Again, spoiler alert. You knew this.
And talking about the predestination theme, it's all those interludes were basically another character in the game attempting to change the past and failing miserably every single time, which I'm sure wasn't frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah, because y'all, let me get real with you. You can't change the past.
No.
The most you can do is change your perception of it.
Ooh.
What?
Hashtag deep.
I am a very deep person. But yeah, there are all these interludes that where we see the past, and also our main characters do not remember their pasts.
No.
They have memory problems.
Is that going to be important?
Indeed. I'm not sure how important it was in the end, except to establish how they all knew each other when they were orphans.
Yeah.
When they were six.
Yeah, that was my... I think that's another reason why people bash this game a whole lot, is that one scene was just so much of a head desk moment.
I think if they didn't show the kids, it would have gone over better.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, Final Fantasy as a whole has some fucking ridiculous moments.
That's true. And that's true.
And really, you can kind of forgive them, give it as them being subconsciously drawn to each other. And also, teaming them up because he was also one of their caregivers.
Yeah, Sid knew. What the hell, asshole?
Sid maybe should have told them.
And so was Adia.
Yeah. Right, this is a story of abuse.
Good night, everybody.
But yeah. Yeah, if they didn't show the kids, it probably would have, yeah.
Well, we did need to see young Squall.
That was important.
That's fine.
Because we need to know that his asshole personality is him being defensive.
People can't abandon you if you don't let people in.
Yeah.
Aww.
And we, as the players, are also privy to the Squall's in her thoughts. Where people say something, he thinks of a
response.
Yeah, but he doesn't say it out loud and just keeps on his persona of a cold dick.
Let's face it, some of us can relate to that.
Yeah. Maybe it's a bit too close to home to some people.
Hmm.
What?
But having them know each other as kids and not remember has a plot reason.
Yeah. I think it would have gone over better. I mean, this is kind of going into story changes here, I guess, a little bit. But maybe this is an organic segue.
Ooh.
Haha. But maybe that choice would have been a bit stronger if they had established memory loss through use of GFs or whatever.
Early. Yeah.
And consistently. Done the rule of threes. Have the introduction to the risk of it, not as a, you know, supplemental reading a computer screen that you didn't have to read bit. I'm talking like mainline story, introduce it, remind, and then we have the payoff big reveal scene that all these people are freaking amnesiacs.
Yeah, maybe start off not even saying that the risk is memory loss, just saying junction GFs has major risks and really hammer it home more than they probably did.
Yeah.
Maybe when, because in the game you meet Guardian forces. Maybe when you do, the first time, have them go, hey, are you sure?
There's a price to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're...
I mean, if they just said explicitly, there's a price to pay for using these, and it's like, oh, what's that? Oh, we just, you know, inhabit your spirit or something like that. Ha 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 ha. Nothing to worry about.
They're taking up a part of your mind. And that's some real estate there. But you mentioned a. How you can actually find out about the Guardian forces causing memory loss from an incidental text in a terminal.
Yeah.
Did we even do that?
Yes.
It's there.
Right there at the very beginning of the game.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure I read it the very first time I played, but every subsequent time, I'm like, fuck that computer.
Like, well, that instance was like bad on game that we kind of needed that. It actually is one of the things of video games I kind of love, because in video games, you can just have random bits of backstory and world building just hidden everywhere. And and you can, for you to find, for me, enrich things, like such as the thing with the witches, the thing with the sorceresses. You can actually find some hidden backstory that the sources are from a god splitting half his soul and cursing humanity and by putting sorceresses everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Have I not played this game?
Well, the thing is, I don't mind that bit of story exposition because that doesn't affect the main plot on hand.
It's more mythical.
Yeah.
But it's also something that shapes the world.
Oh, yeah, I agree totally.
Because it doesn't actually serve anything to the main plot, as, like, in movies, in books, you would axe that.
Yeah.
But in video games, you can just hide it. It becomes
a moment of discovery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my only contention is that when it becomes a major plot point later in the game, that's when we need to have, like, you have to... You know, slap the player with it directly. It's like, dialogue is usually my go-to, like, choice for that in a game, is have somebody explicitly say, could be the GFs themselves explicitly saying the risks, but yeah.
Maybe, sir, starting off with someone explicitly saying, hey, there are risks, but if you go to that computer terminal, it says right away what the risks are, you guys. Yeah. It's not the game's fault, you didn't fucking study in class.
And then when you meet Irvin, and again, and you can mention, and yeah, we use GFs, and he can say, I never touch this stuff. That's a shit. It messes with your head.
Yeah. Because he knew the risks, and he just sort of didn't mention what they were.
Yeah.
And then you started using GFs. That's like it wasn't anything.
Yeah, and then he came to peer pressure fast.
Yeah. So that was like one pet peeve of mine, that one scene. Oh.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any kind of pet peeves of the story?
Of Final Fantasy VIII?
Yeah.
Quista is abandoning her pose to apologize to Rinoa.
Oh, yeah, that was...
So, in the game, you have a mission to assassinate the sorceress, who is...
Yeah!
Just so you know, we're not just killing random people for no reason. She's about to, like, start a war or something.
Yeah, she's pulling a very much
a coup.
She's usurping power in a nation that has been at war with everybody for the past 10 years.
She's all like, nice military over there. Would be a shame if someone
took it
over.
Yoink.
But yes, I just wanted to establish that we weren't just killing a random woman, you know, for funsies.
yeah, and part of Quistis's job was to stay at a trap point to drop the gates to prevent her motorcade from going through.
To make the trap point a trap.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like before that, she was being snippy with Rinoa. Because Rinoa was being kind of childish-ish. That's her story arc. Like, immediately afterward, when she's like, ooh, I feel bad about what I said. Let me abandon my post, which has a very strict time limit.
Yeah.
Go all the way to a general's mansion and apologize to her, which could have waited until the next day. Come on. And you know what happens? They get locked in. Because, as a general...
Rinoa's father.
It's like, I don't want you to win this dangerous mission where people may die. So I'm going to lock you in your room. Because she's also a teenager.
And that's what caring parents do. Lock their children up.
Well...
Yay!
Well, Pip, if your child wanted to go in a pretty much suicide mission against a person who can create and throw ice spears, would you... would you let that child out at night?
Suddenly, that child and I are going to have a girl's night, and we're going to watch movies, and I'm going to keep an eye on her all night. I'm not going to leave her by herself.
Responsible.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, that was a little silly scene, and then makes a artificial race against the clock that was unnecessary.
Yeah.
In the great scheme.
Yeah, don't you get back in time?
They made it back in time, because they went...
Yeah.
Because they found a hidden passage through the sewer that happened to just lead out right underneath the trap point.
Convenient. Yay.
What about you, Pip? Do you have like a pet peeve scene?
Oh gosh, I'm trying to think back to the last time I played it.
Something about the story that just didn't sit well with you.
I mean, I feel like the explanation of Ultimisia was a bit rushed. Because the thing about time travel is it needs a bit of an explanation for you to understand it and get on board with it, but yeah. Not too much where you go, wait a second, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Why?
They did a great job of establishing Adele.
Yeah, she just wants to be revived. The end. Yeah.
Adele is another sorceress from...
I was going to say, we need to explain that, otherwise people are going to think we're talking about the Adele the singer.
Hello.
Yes.
It's me.
I've been trapped up on the moon.
Well, I know. If you look at it, she has been waiting all these years for us to speak.
Yeah.
It's true.
Like, and you can see her in the airwaves on the TV.
Oh, yeah. When you replay it, that's gloriously creepy.
For those that don't know, in one of the scenes, you were passed by a giant monitor, which you assume is just doing a random signal, or like, yo,
gibberish
signal.
Or noise, yeah.
And but you, when you actually read what's saying, it's like, I'm still here.
So creepy. But yeah, so Adele is a former sorceress who turned evil and tried to take over the world, which is not why everyone's really worried about Adia, because she's starting to turn evil and might take over the world. And when sorceresses go bad, they go bad.
With a capital B.
Yes. So it was Adele, it might currently be Adia, and in the future it might, or in the future it is Ultimisia.
Yeah.
So we have past, present, and future. And the future is super important, and they didn't emphasize it as much as I would like. Because basically, suddenly it's Disc 4 and we're in the future, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. There were some hints of it with Alone, because everyone was trying to get Alone, and she had time powers.
Alone was that prior mentioned person who was trying to change the past of Squall's daddy.
Yo, I love...
There's a lot of characters.
I love this game, and I love Final Fantasy in general, but I'm now like, I can see where Kat's coming from when she doesn't want to talk about this stuff.
I don't want to talk about Final Fantasy stuff. Basically, she is one of the plot MacGuffins in the sense that through Elone's mind time travel powers, this time compression can occur somehow.
Yeah, Ultimisia is trying to compress all time in a weird bid, I think, to live forever. Because if all time happens at once, that I'd...
Well,
see, this is why I don't like it, because I still don't quite understand what she was going for.
As we were talking about it, I think I do kind of think of one plausible explanation.
Mm.
If I was writing it, this is another thing I'd change here, is the plausible explanation for Ultimisia there isn't any one of these random internet theories of like, oh, it's just Renoa wanting to see Squall one more time. It was actually Renoa all this time.
I like that
theory. It's something a bit more direct, and there is a rule with sorceresses.
Oh, yeah.
And that is, when it's time for you to die, you have to pass on your powers.
Yeah.
That has to happen. Yeah. Otherwise, it's terrible or something. You're pretty
much a walking
corpse.
Yeah.
So, Ultimisia, in this far future, she's been queen badass. Yay. Problem is, everyone's dead. Oops.
Yeah, oh, yeah, because who's she? Oh.
Because there's nobody else there except for her.
Yeah.
And so let's compress time together and make it so, hey, now this whole entire death thing, not a problem.
Yeah, I like that more than one of the other common theories is in this game, sorceresses often have their knights.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
And it's heteronormative and awful because a woman can exist on her own and have enormous power and not go crazy from it.
Yay.
But the game implies that the knight is... what keeps her grounded and keeps her from going, you know, bad and evil.
Well, that's just a propaganda machine, man.
Yeah. Adele didn't have a knight, apparently.
She had a husband.
Well, yeah, but I think something happened to him. I don't know.
Did it? Nothing was clearly shown.
Wait, Adele?
Aside from, hey, honey.
Wait, no, Adia.
Adia had a husband.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Oh, never mind. Oh, yeah. So Adele had no husband. Adele
didn't have a knight.
Was evil.
Yeah,
she could have just been evil.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey.
Women are also allowed to just be evil. Adia did have a husband and a knight, but went bad and evil because
anyway.
To be fair, because she was possessed by someone, by a different sorceress, by Ultimisia. Was it Ultimisia, or was she possessed by a?
She was possessed by Ultimisia.
I'm sorry.
This is not confusing whatsoever.
Oh, I'm so sorry to anyone listening who hasn't played this game. I love this game.
Oh, yeah.
It's my favorite Final Fantasy. Everyone can fight me.
Really? Not Nine?
It's so confusing.
Yeah, Nine's my favorite.
Nine has a special place in my heart because it was my first Final Fantasy. But Eight is... I don't know. I just really like Eight.
What it does really well is Squall and Renoa's romance.
It does a romance at all.
Almost all fantasies do romance.
I like Squall because he starts off as, you know, a cold, lonely asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like it because it's a story of him learning to let people in.
Yeah.
And learning how to care about people in a romantic way with Renoa. With friends and family.
And.
Yeah, with his friends.
And become a leader.
Yeah, and coming into leadership. Which he didn't ask for, he didn't want.
So few leaders do.
Yeah. So I like watching that, progression.
Oh, yeah.
And Renoa also goes through her character arc. Because she starts out as childish as fuck.
And yet also starting a revolution.
Yeah.
A childish revolution? I guess she did start a revolution just to spite Dad.
Yeah.
Don't we all?
Because she's starting a revolution in a country that is fighting against her father.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I have to say, I do like the Ultimisia's Renoa a fury. Fight me on this.
I like it. I just don't think that's actually what it is.
It's not really supported by story.
No, it's not. But it's also fun.
The theory being is that Renoa is Ultimisia in a future where like Squall dies or something, because Squall is Renoa's knight.
Yay.
Well,
man, oh man,
all her friends are dead.
Yeah. Let's talk about other things that we like about this.
I like that Squall and Rinoa both come into power and responsibility, and just how they deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, coming to terms with having a legacy suddenly, because Squall suddenly is the leader of this military, this mercenary organization, which he was a student of like 3 days previously.
Here's your diploma and here's the keys. Hey.
So he has to learn to become something that is needed. And Rinoa becomes into this legacy of the sorceresses. She gains this phenomenal power and she has to figure out what she's going to do with it. And what that responsibility means now. And does she have a responsibility to sacrifice herself?
Yeah.
Because what if she turns bad and evil? Because there's that very real fear because of what's happened in the past and how that can inform the future. And is that the right move?
And she already got a possessed Wanza and started the moon tier.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Not her fault.
So really, her fears are grounded.
Yeah.
Okay. I will say, I did kind of like the Squall and Elone relationship there. There's something about just the futilely trying to change a traumatic event in the past that just seems like I think it would resonate with a lot of people out there. It's like, oh, if only you could go back and change one thing. And this one thing in the case of Final Fantasy VIII is, hey, Laguna, Squall's dad, don't go off to this other country. You're not going to be around to see your son get born and also your wife die.
Mm.
BT dubs, that's shitty.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. Sometimes I think about that and I get sad.
Yeah. But also, oh, he has to go because Alone got kidnapped.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, then he doesn't defeat Adele.
Time paradox! The doctor shows up out of nowhere.
Oh, she makes friends with everyone. But yeah, oh, poor Alone.
She's got the peanut gallery at the end of the game, so.
True.
Ah, what about you, Al?
What do you like?
What's something? We've been talking about stuff we like this entire time, I know, but.
Yeah.
Just anything else we, you know, explicitly want to call out.
I already mentioned, and, you know, hidden, world building, but, let's see.
Ah. So you're a fan of Timber Maniacs, yeah.
I've never managed to collect all of those magazines. I don't even know what happens if you get them all. Does anything happen if you get them all?
You get all the Timber Maniacs.
God damn it.
You become a Timber Maniac, I mean.
There is a reward for all the Timber Maniacs. I forget what it is. Just let me think. What it does is, and you know, Sophie's homepage inside the game.
Yeah.
She has sections about Laguna. You read the Timber Maniacs. It's Sophie reading the Timber Maniacs, and she talks about Laguna.
I bet Sophie writes Laguna fan fiction.
Probably. Yep. Squall's rival. His story. Which is just how he goes from, I'm the coolest, to, like, I'm the coolest. Just while being on the losing side, driving a monster tank, and pretty much, and having his two best friends, and like, that you were fighting with, just go, we gotta stop, man.
Dude.
Like, we love you, and we support you. And it's because of that that we have to go, you are being super awful right now and we can't be a part of it.
Like, it was cool at first. We got to be generals even though we didn't do anything. Raijin just slept there.
But now we're killing people and...
innocent people are involved and... Cypher, man, have you looked at yourself? You're not looking good.
But good job killing Odin there. Golf clap, man.
Yeah. And then getting fucked up by Gilgamesh.
You got fucked up by Gilgamesh, man. Gilgamesh. That's a very deep Final Fantasy series cut there.
I also appreciate how at the very, very end of the game, we see Cypher has turned out okay.
He's hanging out with his buds.
Going fishing. He went down a really, really dark path.
And now he's recovering.
Yeah.
But he's not in the garden anymore.
No. The garden being the home base of the players, of the characters.
Yeah.
We're still defining new stuff. Oh, Lord.
Like you do.
Okay. Very quickly, because we've been kind of doing this as we've discussed it, which is, I guess, off formula for us, but
it's one way to do it.
What would be some other major change you'd do to the story?
Oh, I thought of one earlier, and now I'm just trying to remember it.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know what I'd fucking do?
What'd you do?
I'd find some way to make the Runoa is Ultimacy a very canon. Fuck you guys. I'll just, you know, start, you know, throwing offhand comments near the beginning. Things like, I wish we could stay like this forever. Or other stuff establishing Ultimacia.
Yeah, you know the perfect time to have that switch happen?
Mm.
What?
The space catch scene. Squall basically sacrifices himself to save her, and then boom, he goes flying off into the void.
And she survives somehow? Because of sorts of spiders?
In the spaceship or something.
Yeah, he does a final sacrifice to save her.
Yeah. Like, he misses, but then, like, uses his air tank or something.
To kick her in the way of a spaceship.
Or something, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I still find the ending where Squall's stranded in time.
Dun, dun, da, da.
And that weird hallucinatory bit.
Or was it?
Yeah, that got trippy.
With all the different ways he basically meets and loses Runoa, and her face gets all weirdly blurry, and there's one thing where he's going to save her in space, and doesn't make it. Basically, I still find that trippy and heartbreaking, and I don't like it. But I love it.
But also, it helps make that final scene very evocative.
Oh, yeah. When Runoa finds him.
Okay.
Yeah. It also ties Ultimacia better to the characters. Not just evil future sorceress, but you know, one that's tied to the characters personally.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, all those times when we see that Adele is still around, we could have easily had more hints that Ultimacia is around.
It's like some visual cues, yeah.
Yeah, there's a ton of shit in Ultimacia's mansion in the end. It could very easily be stuff that was in Runoa's mansion.
Yeah. Mm.
There's a statue of a dog.
Runoa has a dog. Its name is Angela.
Yeah, just like one of the boss rush enemies in the final dungeon. And you have that as a like stuffed animal in her room.
Huh.
Or instead of junctioning with Griever at the end, she could have junctioned with Angela.
Aww.
Aww.
Well, that's part of the reason why
the fan theory exists, yeah.
Is that she junctions with Griever.
Yeah, with the Squall's ring, which he gives to Runoa. Well, is tricked into giving to Runoa.
Right, so that's me.
Pip, did you have something?
I did earlier, and I'm trying to remember it still. I junctioned with a GF earlier, you guys. Yo, I heard that there were risks. I didn't believe it.
But you could cast lightning bolts. That was cool.
Right? Right?
Well, you were able to cast three lightning bolts, but then you ran out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but then I got to hang out with Doom Train.
More Final Fantasy VIII deep cuts.
Oh, man. Oh, gosh.
Okay. Well, yeah, here's something I would like as a general kind of storyteller that I haven't touched on yet in the course of discussion here, because I think I was one of the major rule breakers in terms of talking about story changes as we were discussing the story.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have loved to have more side character, or rather, not even more side character story, but like all the other characters aside from Squall and Runoa felt like that. They just felt like side characters. They were there, they helped flesh out the scene, but they didn't really have arcs per se. Like, it had like a little bit, like, you know.
The most we had was his crush on Squall.
Oh, I was going to disagree with that. What we had was Sophie and Timber Garden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. It just felt a little like it was the Squall and Runoa show, but I guess it was the Squall and Runoa show.
Well, here, I remembered my thing, okay. Which is vaguely related to your thing, but whatever.
Okay. Okay.
I, upon replaying, have a real problem with Questus's crush on Squall.
Uh-huh.
Because Squall is not all that, especially at the beginning.
Especially because she's his teacher.
Yeah, she's also his teacher. He is a student, even though she's only, like, maybe 2-4 years older than him. And I would have loved it if instead of having that weird sort of dynamic, they didn't.
Easy change.
Right?
Ha-ha.
Because in the beginning, Quistis resigns as a teacher and just becomes a field agent, basically.
She didn't quit. She got fired.
Yeah. Because she's not great at it.
She was not a good teacher.
And I would have loved more focus on that. Going into why did she go into teaching in the first place and not have it because she wanted to teach Squall or whatever. Why did she go into teaching in the first place? Why was she fired? Why is she a better field agent than she was a teacher? Does she continue to teach in small moments?
Yeah. That'd be nice if she kept on teaching, yeah.
Because even in those moments when you're not in a classroom, at least I find, though that's possibly part of my just profession in general, I always have these teaching moments.
Okay, Squall, teachable moment.
I have legit used the phrase teachable moment.
What did we do wrong here? I used a gun sword. And what's wrong with that?
My gun broke my sword.
Though, if anyone wants me to get me, like, a gunblade for Christmas, I won't say no.
So I can actually riff on that a little bit, Pip, with a story change that I do to help out the story as a whole. Mm. Just the creation and application of Seed as a whole just seems a little weird.
Yeah.
Because we have, like, especially because we have, like, an entire highly advanced country that would be more than willing to fund anti-sorceress investments, right?
Yeah.
So why do we have them go off and be mercenaries in wars and other horrible things to subject teenagers to? I mean, I can get, oh, we gotta fight the sorceress, but really only a handful of them ever do anyway. Everybody else gets to plan dances.
Also, speaking of the logistics of the garden, it's been in operation for like 10 years.
Probably less than that.
Ish, yeah.
I mean, it's got a major reputation. Multiple sites.
Dang impressive, huh?
Yeah, and in 10 living memory. And, you know, throughout you get the idea that, you know, it's been going on for a while, but no. 10 years, you guys.
Well, Seed has been going on for 10 years. The gardens were pre-existing structures.
Were they?
Yeah.
Yes. Can't say
that. What were they before then? Did I not play this game?
Yeah.
Because technically, Seed is renting the garden from Norg.
Norg! Another character in the game. But he's inconsequential because you meet him and kill him within about 30 minutes.
But remember to draw Leviathan from him before you kill him.
Yeah.
Pro tip from Pippin.
Hey, I did play this game.
But yeah, I mean, the logistics there just didn't make any sense. To me, at least.
Sense? In Final Fantasy?
I know, right? All right. So those were just some brief story changes from us. Peppered throughout, but wanted to just, you know, make sure we have at least a little bit of our formula there. But speaking of formula, hey guys, can we do a game about a story about a game?
I'm just a game standing in front of a boy asking him to love me.
I'm a game in playing a game playing another game.
Game on game on game on game. So yes, we can play a game.
What game shall we play then? Intrepid siblings.
You're lucky I don't remember the name of the card game in Final Fantasy.
Tetramaster?
We should play Tetramaster.
All right, good night, everybody.
I also don't understand how to play Tetramaster.
How about the character that would be king?
Which one is that one?
Making a secondary character the primary character.
Selfie.
Damn it! Son of a bitch!
All right, Al, elaborate.
Okay, so, Selfie. She is a trendy gal being a trendy mercenary.
I love Selfie so much.
Wait a second. Al, are you proposing New Girl Final Fantasy?
Oh my god, I would pay money to watch them play True American or the equivalent thereof.
True Galbadian?
True Galbadian.
Maybe that, or, you know, maybe she's gonna make it after all.
Ah.
But no, we're just, you know, Selfie, what's her last name? Selfie Tilmet. Sylvie Tillman's a new girl at Balm Garden, and she's ready to make friends. Too bad. That's already the final exam.
Oh, no!
God, she's a transfer student? That is just... Oh, God. I love this.
Yeah, but she's determined to make friends, and she...
and make the Spring Fling Festival the best it's ever been.
And her first target, and her first friend candidate, Squall.
Oh, she's walking on sunshine.
But also, it's great because you don't want to mess with Sylvie, because you know what she does to that base
her former garden.
Yeah,
she. Yeah.
She set out to self-destruct.
Yeah.
Yeah, she nuked the bastards.
You blow up something Sophie loves, she'll blow up something you love. It's called an eye for an eye.
Yeah.
And she will look fucking cute doing it, too.
Oh, man. That's hilarious.
And she also has, like, the most powerful spell in the game.
That's true.
True.
It's very true.
For those who don't know, her limit break... She's able to, she has a selection menu where she can cast, you know, a random spell, and you can pass it over.
For a new random spell, so you can just keep going until you get something good.
And of those spells, there are four great ones. Wall.
Which no one else can do.
Yeah. Wall. I believe a heal that also rezzes and gives you a aura. And, Rapture, which... lifts one enemy out of the
battle, yeah.
And the end, which just ends the fight, and it works on all fights,
even the last one.
Yeah,
and it actually shows like a little the end screen,
which is an accurate the end screen. It shows the thematic field of flowers that you're supposed to end up at.
Yep,
which is great because until you get there, it just looks like oh, that's a tranquil, very ending sort of image. And then you get to the actual end, and you're like, oh, snap!
It's the actual end of the game. Oh.
So, yeah. So, her, in the lead, she would trample things.
Also, sidebar, if Selfie's able to do those four magic spells, do you think that she had sorceress potential?
Probably.
Totally. Oh, man, I'd also read that story.
Well, there you go.
Man. Someone should write me some Final Fantasy VIII fanfic, and I want to do it myself. Because clearly I don't remember the game well
enough. Aw, none of us do, Pip. None of us do.
Oh, I played it within the last year.
Wow.
I didn't.
Oh.
Alright, so Pip, what would you do to make a secondary character primary instead?
Well, someone took fucking Sylvie from me.
And I knew what I was doing.
You know what? Here's the thing.
You came here.
Okay. No, I did come here to have a good time. And I am honestly feeling so attacked right now. But what I want is not necessarily this story.
Okay.
But I want to know what happened with Sorceress Adele. I want her story.
Ooh.
So, in other words, you want her to say hello from the other side?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Listen, I'm just saying that with the amount of power she had, she might have been able to set fire to the rain.
Probably did.
And really, if you think about the Lunar Teardrop.
Yeah, it kind of was.
Yeah. The Lunar Teardrop, everyone. The moon is covered with super powerful evil monsters, as we all know.
There's a source of all monsters in the game. There is an in-game explanation for why there are monsters.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, technical term, there is such a gathering of monsters in one place on the moon. That they fall down onto Earth. And then the Lunar Tear happens in-game, and from that point on, all the monsters that you have random encounters with are stronger. Because they were just recently in space. Anyway.
Space makes monsters strong. That's science.
Oh, yeah, it is. You're an engineer. You would know.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. So something happened with her. We only really see the end of her story.
So are we talking like this, like a prequel kind of thing? Or are we talking like a Wicked kind of thing?
Well,
I'm okay with her still being evil.
In one of the backstories, I believe, explains that there was a sorceress war. Like, not a war against sorceress Adele, but just a war that used sorceresses on both sides.
I mean,
using them as
weapons?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which has moral implications of what you do when you use people as weapons.
Yeah.
Yay! Yay!
And, you know, she could have been a product of that.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we don't know what happened in her early life. We don't know what caused her, what happened with her rise to power. We don't even really know how Laguna defeated her.
Yeah. All we do know is that by the time we meet her, she's 2 meters tall and has some bitchin' red hair.
Yeah. Yeah. And Freya's showing some pretty buff looking arms.
Yeah.
She did not skip arm day.
No, she did not, which is great. It really shows something about her because she has magic powers. I can do anything she wants, but she still kept up with the physical exercise.
Oh, yeah. Her magic is non-elemental.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Flare, I believe.
Oh, cool. But yeah, no, I would love to see what was going on with Adele.
Cool. So that leaves me, huh?
Yep.
Oh, I have a joke one.
Go for it.
Okay.
This is going to be a deep, deep cup. Do you remember Nita?
Oh, Nita.
Which one's Nita? I mean, I totally already know, but for the listener.
Nita is the fourth character to graduate in the very first part of the game.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's four people, three of whom are main characters.
And the other guy, Nita. He doesn't talk much, but you know what? He passed. And then he eventually steers a motherfucking spaceship. And then I guess guards are kind of like a spaceship. They're hovercraft. I don't know.
Airship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. I would love the story of Nita and Zoo.
Oh, yeah. Just managing this utter chaos of a school going to war.
Because Squall's the commander-in-chief, basically, but he's always running off doing, you know, the soup
fights and saving the world.
But there's still the, like, day-to-day operation.
There's a cafeteria that needs stocking.
It's out of hot dogs again.
I was going to make the same joke.
apparently, in the Japanese version, incidentally, it's just referencing, like, the fancy stuffed breads that you see, I guess, in Japanese cafeterias.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Which, in defense of that...
are delicious. Man, oh, yeah. I want a red bean bun.
I had a mooncake last week.
Die in a fire.
Jerk. but yeah, just... because I always just love the point of view of just the pure side characters.
Yeah.
That have to deal with all this BS.
A Below Decks episode.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The red shirts.
Yeah. There's a bowling alley in the Enterprise, and none of us ever fucking saw it.
Oh, just imagine, like, Nita going to the garden training center, and it's like, why do we have T-Rexes here?
Why not?
There's 10-year-olds here. Did anybody not think this was a good idea? Meanwhile, Sid is just like, this is the best idea I've ever had. Oh.
Well, we have to train against fighting dinosaurs sometime.
And she can just be like, maybe we can keep the dinosaurs, but, like, make it harder to get into that room.
Yeah, it's for the older kids.
Special permissions, special key cards, not have the cool nighttime hideaway.
Spot.
Yeah. On the other side of the T-Rexes.
Maybe that was by the design.
Fair enough.
It just makes the payoff that much sweeter.
Yeah,
I felt slimy.
A little bit. But you know what? The sort of people who went to the hangout spot, probably kind of slimy.
Oh.
Yo, I didn't mean it like that. Oh, no.
I mean, it was Quistis's idea.
God damn, I hated that.
Yeah.
Red shirts in general having storylines is always fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because also it is fun to have characters in the universe complain about the main characters and why is it always about them?
Rinoa isn't even a member of C.
Why is she on the bridge?
What's the joke? You're not even a...
she doesn't even go here.
Yes.
Oh. So that is all of us. Also, for the record, it should be more queer.
There we
go.
Yeah. Yeah. Just throwing that out there.
I'm just saying, Quistis, Zoo, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Squall, totally bye. Listen, because he has a cool jacket.
Yeah.
And one of the ways you can tell bisexuals is our lives aren't together, but by God, we have a cool jacket.
Ha.
Yeah. And really, have you ever seen him properly sit in a chair?
True. Also, his sword. Oh, my God, this is terrible. His weapon is a sword and a gun.
And he names his jewelry.
Yeah, so, no, Squall Leonhardt, disaster bisexual.
I could believe that, yeah.
Look, he can still
end... feathered hair alone.
He can still end up with Rinoa, that's fine. But Cypher was a bad ex.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody told me.
Any other parting thoughts on Final Fantasy VIII, you guys?
It's a great game.
Underrated. How about that?
It's my aesthetic is what it is.
That's fair. Yeah. No, that's fair.
Yeah. It also leaned very heavy into science fiction, which Final Fantasy VII also did. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think what probably didn't do it any favors, at least amongst the crowd that likes to complain about games or just stories in general, is just like the things we talked about before were just like that were the major asks that weren't really supported.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, come on. Suspend its belief for a while.
Yeah. I also think I think a lot of people were mad that it wasn't Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
Because Final Fantasy VII set a bar that might have been difficult to clear, right after it.
Yeah. Even then, like, upon replaying Final Fantasy VII, I mean, it had good story beats, but at the same time, it also had a lot of weird stuff, too.
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah. It has not aged particularly well.
I am not going to get too far into anything that may or may not be wrong with Final Fantasy VII, because I want Ashley to still be friends with me.
Oh. Maybe we'll save this for another discussion when Kat's unavailable.
Maybe that time we can invite Ashley and she can defend it.
Oh.
She'll get real mad.
Well, the thing is, we tend to be positive about the things we review here and talk about, so I don't think we'd bash on it really hard or anything like that, so.
Yeah.
And it's not like that a remake is ever going to happen.
Oh.
Oh, man.
That hurts, man.
I do kind of look forward to that.
Big F.
I know.
All right, so Pip, I think that was Final Fantasy VIII.
Yep.
Do you care to take us out here?
Sure. All right. As always, if you have a story to submit, head on over to nostoriesacred.com/submission. Follow us on Twitter at nostoriesacred or send us an email through contact@nostoriesacred.com. Your hosts have been Alex MacDonald, Brendan MacDonald, and Pippin MacDonald. Editing for this episode done by Brendan. Transcript done by Ashley DaCosta. Art by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcripts are available at nostoriesacred.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. And please rate, review, and subscribe to No Story is Sacred. You can also visit our Patreon page to support the show and get neat rewards at patreon.com/nostoriesacred. See you next time when we talk about the 2009 science fiction film Moon. For real this time. Probably. Until then, we're No Story is Sacred, and any story can be changed. I'm Pippin.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Brendan.
And we're
No Story is Sacred.